Good morning and welcome back to the Creator Sessions. We are mixing it up today. We have one of our own team that has joined us. Kim Yerbo Jerbo. No, it's just Yerbo. We were just discussing how to pronounce it.
Yala Yerbo.
The Middle Eastern version.
Absolutely. has joined us as our executive creative director. Kim, we spoke a lot about your journey to create.
Yes.
Tell the listeners where this journey started for you. And in a summary, how you got to where you are today. And then we've got 1,000 other questions for you.
All right. So this whole adventure of life started in Sweden. Mm. So growing up there, northern part of Sweden, very cold, very dark in the winters. Cold. And then in the summer, it's just nothing but sunlight. It barely touches the horizon. So grew up there, studied at Hyper Island. And then I had a internship offer from London. I was supposed to go there last minute. I get an email from an art director in Shanghai, in Ogilvy, and I was like, okay, I gotta go as far as I can for this short little internship, 5 months. Ended up staying in Shanghai for 11 years.
That's a long way to go for an internship.
Yeah, yeah.
From Sweden to China.
Yeah. Yeah.
I hope they're paying you for being an intern.
For 11 years.
It's a long way to go.
Yeah, throughout that 11 years, I did manage to go from intern to creative director eventually.
Yeah.
Casual few steps there.
Yeah, there's a bit of a history in between those two moments. And then after that, decided to go to Sydney, Australia. And after 5 years of that, I'm coming here.
Amazing.
So, yeah.
Amazing.
Well, I mean, let's talk a little bit about that sort of culture migration.
Yes.
You know, from Sweden to China and now to Dubai.
Yeah.
But I mean, first up, China. How was that shift in culture and also in the way of what you do, right? Like when you're in advertising, there's a different tone of voice. There's a different audience that you're speaking to, really.
Absolutely. I mean, I think my whole journey has been a journey of contrast, right? I've gone from this tiny little town of less than like 10,000 people to Shanghai, which has 25 million people. And pretty much on every level, there's been a like massive contrast of like the speed, the type of people, the mix of people. And that's what I really loved about Shanghai is that it is such a hotspot for expats, for like the blend of China and the Western world. And it's such a fast moving place that, you know, you just gotta hold on and ride the waves. Like things are changing there constantly. And that's what was so exciting when being there.
When it comes to working in an agency and helping brands to communicate with their audiences in China, how did you bridge that gap coming from Sweden? Because you know, you've been brought up in a certain society with a certain way of thinking and a certain way of doing. And then you move across to China, which I've visited, but I haven't spent much time there. I would imagine is very, very different to Northern Sweden. So how did you bridge that gap? How did you, I suppose, re-educate yourself to be able to add value in that market?
Yeah, it's a good question. So I think it comes down to one of my core philosophies around creative work is that the first step is always to listen, to see, to take a step back, ask questions. Even like the dumbest questions is the best questions to ask. Mm. So when you get stuck as a creative, like just ask a bunch of questions, just listen as much as possible, observe, try to figure out like even these cultural little things that people living within a society, they take for granted because it's just everyday behavior.
Yeah.
As an outsider coming in, and I was like, oh, that stands out. They do this little thing differently.
Yeah.
Let me ask 100 questions about why that specifically. And then you uncover truth that you can then blow up into like proper concepts or communications that actually stands out because they're rooted in something that's culturally true, but also seen from maybe a different angle than normally been ignored, perhaps.
Yeah, That's beautiful, man. How much of your contrast journey, I like that term that you just mentioned, how much of that contrast journey gave you learnings through putting yourself in uncomfortable situations? I think, you know, that change of culture, the change of country even, is moving yourself out of your comfort zone. Absolutely. So how much of that fed back into the way that you are today as a creative?
Massively. Like, I think, like, being a creative is being comfortable with being scared all the time, or it should be, right? You should be throwing yourself into things that you've never done before, because it's so valuable going into a new area and being a beginner.
Beginner's mindset.
Exactly, yeah. So I think that's super valuable. And there's a lot of creative sparks when you're in sort of beginner mode, when you're throwing yourself into something you have no idea about. Because you start asking these questions and trying to figure things out that people who's established within a brand or within a practice or whatever it might be, they don't question it because it becomes every day. So coming in as a newbie there's a true value and opportunity to like question even the fundamentals.
Mm-hmm. Question in that, I mean, that is a profound lesson for somebody coming into the world of creativity, and coming from yourself, someone that's moved from intern to creative director within one environment. Normally you would have to move to multiple different, let's say, agencies, businesses or markets in order to make that sort of leap. So the fact that you've done that, I think anyone listening can take a lot from what you're saying, because you've been there and done that. So those that are coming into the creative space need to, I believe, listen to that. Mm. Listening to what you've been saying for the last couple of minutes and knowing you so far as I do, I know that there doesn't seem to be a whole lot of ego around you, right? Now, how do you believe that ego shows up in the creative space? Because you basically said you've got to come in, make yourself look stupid.
Yeah.
Ask all of the most ridiculous questions. Like, open yourself up completely to just not knowing anything, especially like a guy from Sweden coming into China literally doesn't know anything.
Yeah.
So you've got to really, there's an emotional journey there, and you've got to be quite self-assured to say, I'm actually going to open myself up to be like, I know nothing and I'm going to absorb. Maybe it's slightly easier as an intern because they expect you to be at that level and expect you to be answering those questions. So maybe that's an interesting journey for you. But how do you see the creative ego showing up and potentially blocking some of the things that you were just talking about? Because you have to believe in yourself as well. And it's a really interesting line there to be like,
it is.
Like, there is an ego that says, I know what I'm doing, and subjectively, this is the right direction to go in. I don't necessarily have the data points, but believe in me because I know what I'm doing, versus also being completely open to information and asking those questions.
Yeah, I think it comes down to like test and learn, right? Mm. Back to like the creative process, it's all about test, fail, and learn, right? So what a lot of people outside of the creative industry does not realize is that when you're working on something as simple as just a one design, they see the final thing, the final output, but they don't know that there's been 10 versions that we played around with first, we then reviewed it, and then we done four more, and then we reviewed it, etc. There's so much like failure comparison to the final product that you need to be comfortable at, like, okay, I'm just going to commit myself to write 10 bad ideas, get that out of the system. And then once you start getting warmed up, like, okay, I'm comfortable with like, okay, this isn't leading anywhere. This is not based on anything insightful. So it's just, you have to deal in like volume and be, when you're stuck, you're like, okay, let's just go a different route. Let's take a step back, look at the bigger picture, ask a couple more questions.
Yeah.
Why am I stuck? Why is this not feeling right? Okay, cool. Let's pivot.
That's really cool. I think, again, being in a couple of conversations with you, there's a couple of things I'd like to bring up, and I think it's hopefully going to be valuable as well for the listeners. There's an element of confidence and yeah, I would say confidence behind an idea that you need to portray in front of a client, or, you know, when we're working on specific campaigns, that there is kind of a level of, if they like it, they like it. If they don't, they don't.
Mm.
Right. So at what point do you have that conviction behind an idea? Because everything that we're talking about is super valuable for listeners and
yeah.
for the creative career. So understanding, you know, being open, asking questions, having beginner's mindset.
Mm.
But there comes a time that you need to choose a direction. And there comes a time that sometimes you choose one direction.
Yeah.
When it comes to the creative ideas, at what point and what are the tools that you would kind of like need to, or boxes you need to check to say, if these boxes are done, then I'm willing to put all my chips on this idea and really back one concept fully. And if the client doesn't like it, or if, you know, like they don't respond, then that's cool, because we believe that we've, you know, put everything we have on the table and we're happy with this work.
So when it comes to like campaign specific work, I'm a strong believer in, like, if you have a core insight that is really true, that's combined with a brand insight that is really true, those combinations should almost feel like you don't have to even click to the next line to reveal like the big idea. It should almost be like you lead them there automatically, yeah. right? And if you have something that feels so true, then executions and how that comes alive, that's just those ideas is going to come raining down. Like, you're going to have a ton of those. So if I have a concept that I feel is both logical, is based on insights, it's true, it's creative, it fulfills those like criterias, and I start feeling like, okay, we have a bunch of exciting things that we can do underneath this concept, then I know this is a winner. We should back this. And essentially what we're providing our clients is not just we're producing the work that they want. They're coming for us, coming to us for our expertise, right?
Yeah.
We're complementing their business with our creative, with our data, with our insights, with our capabilities. So us coming with a strong point of view, and we're like, we believe in this and can actually back that up with data and insights and trends and whatever that might be to build a strong case. If you have that, then, you know, stand your ground and have your point of view, because that's what they ultimately want. They want to partner with a strong point of view. Otherwise, it's just like, why are we paying money
for the value, right?
Yeah, exactly.
So tell us about your work with Nike.
Yes. Quite a few years working with Nike in China. It's a really interesting client to work with, because they're very single-minded around making all their campaign and their messaging really, really pointy, which is it's such a nice framework to work within. A lot of clients might want to communicate 10 different things.
Yeah.
But Nike, even though they're better, they're having a product that's better in three different ways, they're like, okay, let's just pick one, be single-minded about it. And it becomes a massive challenge working on it, because you need to still encapsulate everything, but have a very pointed message. So, amazing brand to work with. Very high standards, obviously, yeah. because it's such a legendary brand within marketing itself. I worked on Nike for, six years, about that. And did everything from all kinds of like football category to running to basketball. And I think one of my favorite projects was a brief that came in. It was supposed to be a small little social campaign, bit of content, you know, creative tagline to wrap it up. That was kind of it for their winter collection. And I begged my ECD at that time, like, please, let me just lead this. Let me take care of this one. Very young and hungry, still hungry, not so young anymore. And I managed to find some really interesting insights around why people don't want to go out and run during the winter is because it's like these elements of winter is getting people to, like, we saw it on data, like if it's snowy, woo, everyone stopped running outside, right? So there was spikes.
And where are you getting that data?
So we got that from Nike Plus. Okay. We got that from trend reports and other sources, but mostly from their own running data.
Okay.
Which was really interesting. So instead of trying to pivot around and finding like, okay, we'll find you the best optimal days to go out and run. And it's like, no, let's target these most horrible days to run, incentivize it, gamify it. And like, you know, like Facebook gaming, that kind of stuff, like Farmville and those like social games. The equivalent of that in China was really popular. So we gamified it so that you got incentivized by running when it was the worst conditions possible. And then you could battle against your friends. And then we called it like win against the elements. And we made these monster characters out of like snow, cold, dark, and rain. So when you went out and ran, if I ran 5K in the middle of the night, then I took 5K out of the health bar of the night monster. Nice. And if I ran when it was snowy, it was cold, and it was night, then I took that 5K on all the health bars.
Okay.
So you like you competed
so the
against
worse, the worse the conditions, the
exactly
the better. The,
so we turned
scores.
The mindset from like, oh, it's bad weather outside, I'm gonna stay inside, to like, oh, it's snowy and it's cold and it's night. This is perfect. Now I can score even more. Yeah, and then we got people to like go out purposely on those conditions. So that
is interesting, like flipping that psychology so that
so
all of a sudden people are trying to go hard at the elements that were that were stopping them from from going out. So a question about Nike, right? So what is it about their working culture that creates consistently, and that's the key word, right? Consistently such great work. And it, you know, obviously the agencies that they work with play a big role in that, but it's not just the agencies, right? And obviously Wieden and Kennedy in New York doing their global stuff, but you know, there are plenty, as you were, other agencies around the world that are working with them as well. How do they drive such high quality consistently over time? So you've mentioned about they've got high standards. What does that mean when it comes to briefing, for example, that it comes to, you know, what is their work process that you find different to others?
Yeah, it's a good question. I think, as I touched on before, like being single-minded, not trying to do everything, but doing one thing really damn good, do it right. And then they have this built-in like hustle culture in their marketing department as well. Like they're, I don't know if I have ever seen such a hardworking like client on the
really
marketing side.
Yeah.
Like they are living and breathing the brands. Like they have they have their offices is essentially a sports campus slash offices, right? They live and breathe this, so they're built by people obsessed with the athletes, the sports, the practice, and that really comes through. Like we really want to honor both the sport itself and the athletes that they're attaching themselves and collaborating with.
I think you mentioned two words there that are super key for me. The one thing and obsession. Yeah. How much do you think those two ingredients are important for either an individual in their career or even for companies, like I said, to kind of make their mark on the industry or in a scene? Because sometimes messaging can be diluted by trying to say too many things in you know, in one piece of content or too short of a campaign. But in your opinion, what do you think those two ingredients, how do they play for the individual in the creative industry, but also for from a client perspective, obsession and you know, being single-minded on the one thing?
Yeah, it's tricky. I mean, obsession is, I think everyone who works in the creative space needs to have a certain amount of obsession, right? Because it's pretty crazy to get 19 ideas rejected for one to be worked on. You need to have that obsession. And what was the other thing?
So the power of the one thing. I think there's even a book written about it, right? So like the power of the one thing, when you're kind of like focused on either one piece of messaging, either in a campaign or or even for
one goal.
One goal for a creative.
Just single-mindedness, huh?
Yeah. Well, the good thing with that is that, you know, if you do one thing right, then other things will follow, right? Mm. If you try to do everything, then you're going to half-ass most of them, right? So I think building that sort of culture and behavior to absolutely nail one thing, even if it's one thing at a time, and really polish your skills in one area or achieving that objective in one area, be it, you know, on a personal level, be it on in the work itself, like let's nail the message for this one specific aspect of it. That's gonna then drive people's interest, and then you're opening the door for all the other.
That translates into so many different areas of life, right?
Yeah.
So if you're single-minded in terms of, okay, I want to achieve this specific goal, it essentially becomes a framework for decision-making. A, does it get me closer to this goal? B, does it not? And then everything falls within that filter. And whether it's building a business, whether it's wanting to run a marathon, whether it's whatever it is that you're trying to do, including your marketing and communications messages, right? It's just that singular obsessed focus on the thing that means the most to you.
Yeah.
I think the challenge is most people don't end up figuring out what that one thing is. Mm. So therefore, how do you build that decision-making structure around it, right? And same thing in marketing communications. You're like, yeah, but we want awareness and we want to talk about the seven different brand attributes and we also want to do the thing. But when it's seen in this environment, it's also got to show up in this way, right? Mm. And all of a sudden you end up doing something that's generic, that's not really speaking to the market in the way that you want. In comparison to what I'm hearing you say from Nike, it's like, right, there's all sorts of things we can be talking about, but in this campaign, it's this one thing.
Yeah.
And we're going to go super, super tight on this, and it's going to mean the world to the individuals that we're trying to speak to, and it's going to be irrelevant to everybody else, right? And that's how you have to communicate. And I think that's what a lot of brands do miss.
I think from a creative perspective and the people that are listening, if you kind of focus on one thing per season, if you're looking at your year in a seasonal sort of lens, and you were to take one thing and become a bit of an expert in, that will, you know, propel you towards the end of the year into a much higher operational level when it comes to, you know, understanding where your expertise lie and becoming deeply, just having a deeper skill set in specific areas of the creative field that you're in.
Yeah.
So tell us a little bit about, so you moved then from China to Sydney, right?
To Sydney. Yes.
And how was that change?
Again, massive, massive contrast. Mm. Both in terms of every aspect of life, I would say. I went from knowing the city like inside out to being a complete stranger again, starting from scratch, didn't know that many people or areas or and the culture was obviously very different. Like you have China is really fast moving, really big city, and like drastic changes from like financial system to when I was there, cash was king. Then in a year, maybe a year and a half, everything had moved over to WeChat or Weixin, and then paying with QR codes, and then no one used cash. Basically,
in the space of a year.
In the space of like a year or two max. Like
and how many? Like and how many people in Shanghai?
25 million. But this is like countrywide. So you're talking about transforming the way that people use on a daily basis for a billion people.
That's wild. Crazy. It moves that much.
And then so moving back to the question. Okay. So then moving to Sydney again. Massive contrast. It was very much of it's a beautiful, beautiful place, and it's beautiful nature and beach life, and it's very sort of that balance. It's a bit sort of a slower tempo.
It's a bit beach, a bit relaxed.
Yeah, exactly. So I enjoyed my time there, but I think I missed that energy.
Yeah.
That I've fallen in love with.
There's no shortage of that In Dubai, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
So that city of energy.
Right? Yeah, exactly. And that really what got me to fall in love with Dubai is just that energy.
And yeah. You've been here a short while. You've visited a few times more than that. What do you see from your very unique perspective, when you look at Swedish culture, Chinese culture, Australian, and now you're just getting to know the Middle East? And, you know, we're fortunate to work with tourism brands, culture brands. So you've probably been exposed fairly quickly to things that it might have taken you a little bit longer to really start to appreciate. And certainly some of the insights that we're pulling out culturally for the campaigns we're working on. What are you seeing when it comes to creativity? What do you see when it comes to the market here in comparison to the others that you've worked in?
I would say that my first impression is that there's a strong can-do mindset here. Anything can be done. We'll find a way to do it. We'll do crazy big things. We'll do crazy small things. We'll do all kinds of challenges. And it's really interesting to see it's a place that is connecting so many different people from so many different places on earth in such a not chaotic but intense environment where it's there's so much happening and there's so much energy going on. So that's really what I've fell in love with here. Combination of different people and mindsets and what's happening on small and massive scales, like this massive project to opening up abilities for the smaller content creators fund that's just been announced, right? Yeah. So it's smaller businesses are accelerated here. Massive projects are accelerated here.
Yeah.
It's just a town of speed and acceleration.
And energy, right?
Absolutely. Yeah.
I mean, you probably hit the ground running with us as well. We didn't fall short of throwing you in the deep end. But to be honest, in the past, it's been a few weeks now. The integration process with the rest of the team has been super cool to witness and see the value that you've been adding. So I think one of the questions is what's your, now that you kind of tapped into the energy of the city and also the energy of our clients, what do you think your personal aspirations of where, do you want to kind of leave a creative mark in the next 12 months? Where would those be?
Okay, so this is a big question because this is what I've been sort of obsessing about.
There's a list that's about to come out.
Yeah. Oh, yeah,
here
yeah,
it is.
Yeah. There is actually. There is a long list. Yeah, I had this tendency to just write down notes as much as possible. So
are you actually pulling up a list now?
I do have a little bit of a list.
Okay,
yeah.
good.
But I'll summarize the list.
Okay.
I can summarize it like this: connecting dots. That's it. We have such an amazing talent in this place. And being born out of social and production means that we have this sort of foundational layer of intense, high quality work that's keeping up with the pulse of the city and the pulse of the region, and then building on that with, high level conceptual creative thinking, data insights, a digital platform building. It's all about connecting all those dots internally and then connecting all our creatives to connect more dots with data and insights and superpower all this behavior to build stronger and bigger work and more of a connected approach.
Yeah.
I think that's it. We've been, from a foundational level, we've been building these, putting together these building blocks of the agency that have allowed us to do well in single service areas, right? Mm. And we've really focused on those. And as we've scaled the business, we've been guilty of getting into silos. One of the things that myself and Dira have been talking about for the last 18 months is how do we do a better job of bringing this together? Because we understand that the client is agnostic in terms of how this message gets out there, whether it's on the website, whether it's a paid media, whether it's a brand film, whatever it is. It's just as part of their requirements to get this message to the world. It could be through any of these different channels, but we haven't done in the past such a great job of stitching all of this together to be more from a, you know, an integrated approach to the market. And I think with yourself joining, plus the other senior leaders, the five senior leaders we brought into the business recently, seeing you guys working together already, it's just like, I just smile when I'm in a room. I'm like, oh, this is what was in the head. You know, this is what we were thinking and we were discussing and, you know, trying to figure out how to do it ourselves. And it's like, if you spend more time with this guy, and we've been trying it for a long time. And only now we realize that obviously we went about it wrong. We should have made this move earlier. But having such talent across different areas, integrated with the incredible talent that we already have in the business, we're starting to see, to your point, those dots get joined and all of a sudden these ideas come out that are just completely sitting across every different digital touch. And you're like, wow, okay, now there's some real power in what we're saying and what we're doing and what we can build. So it's awesome.
I think
to see.
You know, Tom, you say this quite a bit. Is like, as long as we have the right people around the table, then things will flow, right? And things will head in the right direction. And I think from that sort of lens, and I wasn't actually planning on bringing this up, but I think we should probably bring up the Spark sessions. And since this is a platform that, you know, we'll go out and maybe we'll do this as a bit of a cut down, is the, you know, the conversations that we want to have as an agency is not just going to be internal, but also external and regional. So I think there's an element of curiosity around the creatives that are in the country, or also in the region, to kind of invite them to an open format forum where we can get to discuss with them as well. I know that we're going to be running internal sessions called the Spark sessions for our internal teams, but those will also extend to the local and regional creatives. So very soon, if you're hearing this, we will sort of launch more information about how you can get in touch and how you can be part of this. But I think there's an interesting element of, you know, let's get the right people around a circle, around a discussion, because everybody who's part of that will be inspired and will walk away with some value, you know, whether that value is ending up in a collaboration on a campaign or on a project, or just being inspired and going away to your area of work and really applying something new to the way that you do things. So yeah, I'm super excited to see that happen. And I'm sure there's going to be a lot more sort of ideas that we sort of cultivate and bring to life.
Yeah, that's going to be a cool structure for sure. One question that we haven't touched on yet that I didn't want to miss is, we're, as agencies and in the creative space, we are in a moment of transition, right? Certainly technologically, amongst other things. How do you see the integration of AI into the creative space? What I mean by that is, where do you believe that we're going? What will be the most significant impact? And if we look at it from a positive lens, how can we harness this to do better? As an agency, as a creative, how do we leverage what's happening? Because what we can't do is stick our head in the sand and pretend like it's not happening. Although, you know, there's still, amazingly, it's not showing up in certain conversations that we have with clients and stuff like that. But like the world is changing. And how do we be part of that, in your view?
Well, the way I see, and I wrote a bit of a piece on this, I see AI as like the great equalizer, right?
Okay.
It's giving everyone the power to rise up to a certain level. Now, that's happened before when we have like computers coming in and all of a sudden it's like, oh, it's taking away jobs and it's making things too easy.
Instagram made everybody a photographer, right? So all the photographers are going to lose their jobs because everyone can use Instagram.
but the reality of it is that, I know it's a way more advanced tool than any other tool that's come before us, but the way that we fit in is not necessarily being replaced, but using our talents in a more effective, sort of creative way on top of that. So it builds a baseline that, you know, a lot more people can step up to the creative space because of these tools and the capabilities it brings. And it's our job to then, how do we complement that with our own skill set? How do we build on top of that and use this as the new foundation, the great equalizer, and then, complementing.
It's interesting. Look, my view is that it's going to democratize a lot of a lot of content creation, right? And it's we've seen it in many different ways. You know, myself and Dia talk a lot about, obviously, from a production standpoint, what it used to cost to do a equivalent to a TVC, let's say, five, six, 7 years ago, versus what you could do now with a fraction of the cost of the equipment, and you know, and a couple of talented people in comparison to what might have been a, you know, 10 people on set with these big ass cameras and all the rest of it. So like the world is moving in that direction in many different ways, right? And AI is a part of that journey. It's not that it will replace, my view is, but it will make people more efficient, more effective, and better at what they do, because it won't replace the thinking. But if you could do five things in a day really well, you should be able to now do eight things really well, right? But you're not going to spend time. We talk a lot in the business about friction, right? Removing friction as much as possible.
Yes.
To have people aligned with something that they are good at, something that they want to do, and that they're able to do the top 5-10% of that as much as possible, and not spending so much time in the bottom 20%, which is just the admin of getting the stuff done and getting it across the line. There are tools that can help with this. Even if we look at a random example, because I had a conversation with the team yesterday, writing press releases for content that we're pushing out, right? Now, how long would have taken to sit down and write that full page of copy that's well-written, well-structured, takes the reader on a journey, versus using ChatGPT, inputting correctly and editing. Now, the output is still excellent, but half the time has gone into that. So, you know, you could extrapolate that out to, okay, well, you can do twice the amount of work for the same input. Yeah. And it's the same with generative AI in all its different forms. Now, where it goes from there, we don't know, right?
But,
it's going to be interesting to see, how it makes us more efficient as a business, but also starts to unlock things in creative spaces that don't even exist yet.
Yeah.
And I don't know what that looks like. How does a brand show up in a creative space that we have not yet understood or seen? And I think that's going to be the kind of the top end of the progression. The technological progression is how we as an organization stay so agile that we're testing, we're learning, we're watching, we're tasting, and then all of a sudden, okay, we jump into that thing, and we have to keep moving the business forward in that way. Otherwise, we get left behind.
Yeah, I think there's a distinction of, like, everyone's been talking about this sort of fear-mongering around AI as, like, okay, jobs is going to be lost, and things are going to just take less time, and there's going to be less to do. But as you said, like, the reality is that instead of we're actually outputting less at the lower amount of time, it's like, how can we do things at the same time? We can do things much
peak,
better.
Right? Like,
you can do output greater work, better work.
At scale.
Exactly.
Creativity at scale. I think there's an interesting, like you said earlier, it's a tool, right? And it depends on how do you want to use it. What I started noticing is when people start, you know, using prompts like in the style of X or in the style of Y, that's when you remove your own personal flavor from the way that you create. I think that's where the you know, potentially you become agnostic to, or you kind of hand over your personality to the tool, and that's where the gray area, I would say, would be. As long as you're maintaining your way of creating, and as long as you kind of amplify that with using those tools, just maintain the way that you would actually create, whether it's tone of voice, whether it's your style, whether it's, you know, like the way that you would kind of bring ideas to life, and use those tools to scale, then great. Mm-hmm. But if you're relying on the tools to give you a style, then that becomes a bit risky.
Yeah, I think there's like two areas. There's things that you know how to do, like writing that press release, that you know what the final output should look like. It's just grunt work to get there. Exactly. So you can speed that process up. Now, and then there's that more creative area where you don't know what the end result would look like. Yeah. You need to work creatively to find that. That's where you get into that sort of area of like, is this my work or is it just the AI's work? Yeah. That's where we need to use AI as a source for inspiration and sparking our ideas so that we can then build on that and then make it our own, right? So if you're getting stuck, then you can use it as a inspiration tool. If you want to quickly visualize what you sort of have roughly thought up, and it's like, no, that actually makes no sense whatsoever. Or there's a nugget here, and then you build on it, and then you speed up your own creative process.
Yeah. And look, you said this the other day, right? Creativity is just joining the dots. Two different things. And never is an idea a good idea thought up sitting in a dark room in a black box. It's all stitching things together. Right? Yeah. Sometimes, you know, we've all got albums on Instagram of stuff that we've seen that we want to save, so that when we flick through, like, oh, that's a cool thing, and I'm going to link it to the thing that I know, so I'm going to make it mine. I'm going to change it a little bit, and all of a sudden, here's my thing, and it's cool. Well, okay, well, part of it's from me, but part of it's from there, and part of it's from there, and it's all stitched together. Yeah. So, if any of the generative AI tools allow you to do that, and it could be visually, if you're trying to, okay, I kind of got this thing in my head, and we started playing around. In the early days when they started to come out, and we were like, I remember you saying, certainly we were talking about like psychedelic journeys, right? Yeah. And you're like, I've got this thing in my head and I don't know how to explain it. So he was like, I'm just gonna type and type and type, and he's like, yeah, and then do it like,
and
this
then something
and,
comes
and all
through,
of a sudden this artwork started to appear, and you're trying to match it with what was in your head, and there's no, unless you're a talented sketch artist, there's no other way of getting that out, right? So it's really interesting to start to leverage these tools in different ways.
Yeah.
One question, a takeaway. Somebody young coming into the creative space now, coming into an agency. Now, if we look back across this conversation, you've had an incredible journey from intern to executive director in a relative short period of time, right? We could say, if we're being pessimistic about it, that the advent of AI is removing some of the, as you termed it, grunt work in the beginning. Does that remove the need for interns? Does AI become your intern because you're able to do that lower level of work at pace, and therefore not rely on other people to do that for you? So there's a conversation there. So let's move one step further than that. So let's say someone that's come into the creative space, into an agency, is a junior within a department, but has aspirations of being an ECD at some point in their career. They want to grow, they want to step up. What are the key things that they need to think, feel, do in order to move their career forward?
Yeah, it's a crazy new landscape, right?
So
I think it comes back to just connecting with your leadership, connecting with them, asking questions all the time. Like when I was a junior, I was pestering whoever was my line manager all the time. I think always going in with the best intentions, always like put on a positive mindset and just going at things with a positive point of view is gonna get half of the work done. I think it might be a bit difficult being a junior in this space where there's all this, you know, competing tools and but I think it comes down to like learning, right? Just be hungry, learn the latest trends and play around with these tools and you know, try to perfect, as we talked about, perfect a skill, be invaluable in a certain area and learn a ton of different ones.
Every time that there's an upheaval or a change, there's an opportunity, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
There will be, and it's the same every time there's a platform change or a new platform comes out. There are those that are, okay, maybe seen as juniors today in the more traditional sense of their progression through an agency, but they can very quickly become the expert on the thing, right? The new tool, the new platform, whatever it might be, they can become the expert far more so than somebody that's maybe more senior that doesn't quite have the same amount of time in order to invest in that. So I feel that there's a real opportunity for someone junior to say, you know what, this new tool, I'm going to understand this thing so well that I'm going to be able to present to my leadership about the best ways that we could use it collaboratively together and become the expert. All of a sudden, you've just taken two or three steps up the conversational the ecosystem, right? So I think there's a real opportunity for young people there too.
Hungry to learn, right?
Yeah, that's it.
And there is no better time than when you're when you're a junior. Like that's absolutely where you have the extra time and you have the extra energy this weekend or this evening, I'm just gonna obsess, go through 100 tutorials, learn everything, experiment.
It's obsess again, right?
And
that word comes back up. If you want to make progress, whether it's building a business, building a career, at some point you've just got to batten down the hatches and get obsessed.
And then just a tip, like connect the dots of like obsess about it and then back to go back to your leadership or to the team that you're working with and be like, okay, I can actually connect this, what I've experimented here, what if we connected with what we're doing here, or this client, or that brief, or then that's how you build your profile, and that's how you build your capabilities.
And I would, you know, I would also add to that is like doing is the best way of learning.
Right? Absolutely.
And whenever I would interview like people who are applying for positions with, within our team is show me the work that you do for yourself, not the work that you do for others. Because that's that tells
you
me that A,
that,
you're obsessed about the craft enough to make stuff for yourself.
Yeah.
Not just when somebody says, hey, can you come and work on this project?
Yeah.
So like if that's your mentality, I know that you've got that learning sort of, you know, learning mindset to A, learn new skills, to keep creating. Because if you're creating for yourself, that means you love this. You love this game. Mm. And I think that's kind of a differentiating factor. As many people that go, especially
true.
the older generation, I just, you know, I'm a DOP or I'm a director, but I always just, I wait for something to happen and then I'll work on it. Mm. That's like a dangerous place to be.
And you're not obsessed.
So that's you know, that's important, I would say, for growth.
Yeah. Yeah, cool. Within your field or outside.
Yeah, exactly.
Complementary to it. Like,
So I think we got one more segment. It's a new segment.
Uh-oh.
And we're going to play a game. We are going to play a game. Dia, do you want us to do the honors? Have you got the link?
There it is.
So the team put this together. I think it's a great idea. It's all about sonic branding, which I think, to be honest, is quite underutilized. But there are certain sonic brands that all of us know. All of us, or we think we know, right? So the game is we're going to play some sonic brands, right?
All right.
And you are going to guess what they are.
Yeah. Okay. All right. So I don't know if you guys listening can hear this, but I'm sure that we can add it into the edit, but I'll play it.
Fix it in post.
Yeah.
Well, that's Coca-Cola. Must be.
That is Coca-Cola. You're right.
Nice. One out of one.
1 point.
Ding.
Bing.
HBO.
Nice. Yes.
Followed by Sopranos.
Yeah, exactly. Nice. Well done, HBO. And
yeah, that's Intel.
Yes.
Nice. I paused on that one. I was like, oh god, I know it, but I don't know what it is.
That's true. That's
too
true.
Easy. Bring a hard one. Come on.
Okay. We'll do a couple more.
Ooh.
Oh. Okay, wait. We'll do it again. 1 second. These are like quite back to back, but okay, here it is. Coming.
Oof, I'm stumped.
I think it's not AT&T or something. Is it T-Mobile?
No. Nope.
T-Mobile?
You got one more option. You got one more option. Right. Do you want to play it again?
Yeah, go ahead.
I got two people off camera trying to signal to me what it is. Oh, I know what it is now.
I did think
we
it was
can pass
a telco.
As well if you want.
Have you got it written there? Do you know what it is?
Yeah.
Let's go ahead.
LG.
LG.
As soon as you hear it, see, it's one of those things you're like,
Yeah.
Oh, we all know that one.
Yeah. Apple.
Yep. And okay, final one for the show today. I like this game, actually. This is cool.
Telcom.
1 second. Playing coming up one more time.
It's like a tech brand.
Okay, one final time. I'll play it.
I don't think you're going to get this one. It's not a tech brand. You can ask 3 questions.
Yeah.
Is it a telco?
No.
I'll give you a clue. It's in the banking. No.
Okay, so you know it's in banking. It's not a telco.
It's in banking.
Yeah.
Yeah, you got 2 questions left.
MasterCard?
You saw the thing. Okay, good one.
Is it?
That's
it. Is. Yeah, yeah, good.
Did you see it?
Yeah, I don't know. But I like this game. It's cool. We should bring it back into it.
Thank you very much for joining us. It was great to get to know you a little bit deeper to bring the listeners on that ride. So, mate, thank you for being here. We're really looking forward to seeing what we can achieve together. You've got a wealth of experience. We just scraped the surface of it today, but no doubt you'll be back.
Yeah. Thank you so much for having me, and I'm so looking forward to this year. It's going to be amazing.
It's going to be fun. All right.
Cool.
Okay. Thank you. Cheers.